I, for one, sure thank God for the truth of the hymn we've been listening to today. Yes, love lifted me. Friend, if you're saved by the grace of God today, you know something about the love of God expressed in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 4 and verse 10, we read, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Again, we're told over there in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, I thank God today that He's a God of love. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow in Thy presence today to ask Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. We thank Thee for Thy love. We thank Thee for Thy mercy and Thy grace expressed in Jesus Christ. And we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. So honor afresh Thy Son and Thy Word by saving souls, for which we'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, if you'd care to follow me in the reading of the Scriptures today, I'll be using as my text the Luke's Gospel and the first few verses in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Luke 15 and verse 1. "Then drew near unto Him," meaning Jesus Christ, "all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His Word. Now, friends, in this portion of Scripture, which we've just read together, the Lord Jesus Christ brings before us, quite vividly, the complete process of redemption for the soul. Perhaps many of you listening in today have heard or read this parable many times before, and you consider it as a most beautiful portrait of God's love for His creature. And that it is. Ah, but my friend, it's more than that. It's a portion of the Word of God which clearly illustrates man's ruin and God's marvelous remedy. Now today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring before the unsaved listening in several important and analogous facts from this parable by the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the Savior was speaking not only to the publicans and sinners of verse 1, but he was also speaking to the scribes and Pharisees of verse 2. In other words, the gospel of the grace of God is to be preached not only to those who were engaged in gross and open sin, but also to those who pride themselves in their good works, their religion, their heredity, and self-righteousness. In fact, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel to the religious people more than he did to the out-and-out sinner. And furthermore, of the countless hundreds who are perhaps listening to this broadcast of the gospel today, I believe the vast majority of you would fall into the class of the religious and self-righteous. You're living a life with a philosophy of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You believe in trying to keep the Ten Commandments as best you can. You go to church, you pray, you read the Bible, and you may even teach Sunday school. You are no doubt a good neighbor and are overwhelming with your civic pride. If you're a parent, you're trying to lead a good, clean life before your children. Perhaps you're teaching them to base their living on sincerity, honesty, morals, ethics, religion, and culture. Yes, most of you listening today, I believe, are typical and average American men and women, boys and girls. And your charitable hearts have displayed a virtue which, unfortunately, many truly born-again Christians seem to lack at times. But listen, friend, with all your noble virtues, it is still necessary to preach the gospel to you, as well as to the thief, the drunkard, the harlot, and the murderer. Now, I hope you won't feel offended, my friend, but Jesus Christ in this parable compares both the big sinner and the small sinner to a sheep, which leads us to the second fact I want to bring before you today, and that is the fact that the sheep was lost. And listen, sinner friend, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, you're just like the sheep. You're lost. My, what a terrible word. Lost. And yet, friend, that's the God-given description of everyone that has not been saved or born again. And the sad part about it is the fact that people are lost and don't realize it. Yes, they think because they're traveling with millions of others that they're headed in the right direction. But what they don't seem to realize is that everyone on the broad and crowded road is lost and are complacently headed for the pit of eternal woe. Friend, it seems as though you're being drawn by some devilish magnet into the place called hell. Now, friend, if I were to ask you to define the word lost, I'm sure you all would give an answer to the fact that being lost is not knowing where you're at and heading in the wrong direction. Well, friend, whether you believe it or not, the Bible says that if you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, then you're lost. You're lost. You don't realize where you're at, and you're heading in the wrong direction. Now, if we were to turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14, we would read these words by the Lord Jesus Christ. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Listen, my friend, in these two verses which I've just quoted from Matthew chapter 7, and which were spoken by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, we have it clearly stated that many are on the road to hell, but relatively few are on the road to heaven. Now then, you may be asking, well, how did I get lost in the first place? How did I get started on the broad road? The answer, my friend, is found in many portions of the Word of God, some of which are these. In Psalm 51 and 5, we're told, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In Isaiah 59 and 2, Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 12, we read, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Again, in that same third chapter of Romans, in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And friend, as far as where it started is concerned, we're told in Romans 5 and verse 12, Wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin came into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And finally, we substantiate our analogy to lost sheep by what we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And even David, The man after God's own heart could say in Psalm 119, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Then I think of the words of the Apostle Peter over in his first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 25. Here's what he says. Here he is reminding those who are saved of the fact that at one time ye were as sheep going astray. Sinner friend, the word of Almighty God stands in judgment against you and others today, and the verdict is, you're lost. You're lost. You're still in nature's darkness, serving sin and Satan. You're spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. And friend, unless you acknowledge that you are lost, and then accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then according to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you'll spend all eternity weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. Now just a brief word to those of you who profess to be really, truly born-again Christians. Did you ever see yourself as lost? Did you, my friend? Did you ever believe in your heart that you deserved the eternal wrath of a sin-hating God? Do you recall a time when, a place where, and a manner how you were saved? Well, if not, my friend, then according to the Word of God, you're still on the broad road leading to destruction, and you're still lost. Someone might be saying, well, I've been baptized. Listen, my friends, there are millions of souls down in hell today, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. Baptism will never save a soul. I think, too, of those of you who might be saying, well, when I was a young boy or girl, I went forward to the altar. Listen, my friends, again, I remind you that there are millions of souls down in hell today, and they went forward to the altar, but they never got to Jesus Christ. Baptism, my friend, or any other religious ritual will never save your soul. Neither will going forward to an altar. There isn't one verse in the Bible that says you can get saved when you go to the altar. You get saved when you go to Calvary by faith, and there view the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Some time ago, I was visited by an old friend whom I hadn't seen since I was saved many years ago. And I was telling him how I was converted and told him exactly what I believed as revealed in the Word of God. He listened intently till I was finished, and he said, you know, I believe every word you said. I then asked him when he was saved or born again. He was speechless. He couldn't say a thing. I asked him how long he had believed the facts which I had enumerated concerning salvation through Christ. And he said, I've always believed that. I don't ever remember not believing it. How about you, sinner friend? Have you always believed it? If so, then it's quite evident you're being deluded by the enemy of your soul, the devil. Nowhere in the Bible do we find authority for the widespread doctrine of growing into grace. It just isn't scriptural. How can you grow before you're born? Listen, friend, there must be a time in your life when, if you died one moment, your soul would go to hell. And if you died the next moment, your soul would be in heaven. Yes, there must be a definite experience in your existence when you, as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, accepted by faith Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yes, and then you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Friend, when you see your need as a Savior due to your lost condition and the Holy Spirit's conviction, then and only then can you be saved from the eternal wrath of God. Now, that doesn't mean that because you do experience conviction of sin, that you're automatically saved. Oh, no. Many a soul is in torment today who had experienced deep conviction while here on earth. Remember this, my friend. Conviction and conversion are not the same thing. You might be under the Holy Spirit's conviction right now, and yet you may spend all eternity in hell. And that's why I'm here today, yes, with the gospel of the grace of God, and praying that God's Holy Spirit will stir you up in convicting power and lead you to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, the third point I want to make concerning our parable today is that the shepherd loved his sheep. Yes, even though the sheep rebelled and left the fold, even though he was only 1 out of 100, even though it wandered far astray, even though it was lost, it was also loved. And so it is with you, sinner friends. Even though you've rebelled against God, even though you're only 1 in 100, yes, even though, my friend, you've wandered far astray, even though you're lost, you're also loved. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, I've already mentioned that well-known scripture, perhaps the best-known verse in the Bible, where Jesus Christ said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we read, But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, thank God we have a gospel of love which we can preach to you who are out in Radio Land today and who are yet lost. Lost. You know, I can't help but think of how it must have grieved the shepherd when he found out that one of his sheep had gone astray. And likewise, it must have deeply grieved the heart of God when he saw our first parents, Adam and Eve, fall into sin and open rebellion to His Word. Listen, my friends. It gives God no pleasure to see you lost. He receives no pleasure when you as a sinner drop into hell. But my friend, God is holy. He's righteous. And He cannot permit sin in His presence. And that's the reason He has provided the sacrifice for sin, the death of His own dear Son. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, we read that if we're saved, God hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells the Christians in the assembly at Ephesus that at one time they were without Christ, they were without hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. To you who are saved out in Radio Land today, have you ever regretted the day you accepted Christ? Isn't the love of God wonderful? Why, it can take a lost and hell-bound sinner and bring him into the family of God. It can take a drunkard and make him a pillar of faith. It can take a harlot and make her a testimony to the saving power of Jesus' blood. Yes, we're also lost, but we're also loved. And I stand in wonder and amazement today at the love of the shepherd for the sheep. Sinner friend, I don't care how great a sinner you are, and I don't care how far you've strayed from the fold, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, wants you to return. He sees you now afar off and rejecting His death at the cross. But He loves you, my friend. He loves you just the same. His heart is moved with compassion as He sees you going further and further away. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, we read that when He saw the multitude as sheep scattered abroad and sheep having no shepherd, He was moved with compassion. Yes, my friend, you may be lost and on the way to a lost eternity today. But you'll do so shunning the love and the mercy and the grace of God expressed in Jesus Christ and His death at Calvary's cross. Yes, you'll go down to hell, heedless and careless, and trampling underfoot that precious blood that cleanseth from all sin. In John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now then, the fourth fact we notice about this parable is that the shepherd found the lost sheep. And let me say at the outset that no one was ever saved who was not first sought by the Savior. Some sinners make the ridiculous statement that they've sought God for years and couldn't find Him. Why, God was ready, willing, and able to save our first parents when they sinned against Him in the Garden of Eden, but instead of Adam and Eve seeking God, it was God seeking Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3 and 9, He called to them as they hid amongst the trees of the garden. Where art thou? Where art thou? Friend, let me ask you today, where are you? Are you as a lost sheep that has gone astray? If so, have you ever sought God? No, I'm afraid not. The natural propensity of man has not been one of seeking after God. In Romans 3 and 11, we read that there is none that seeketh after God. Now, perhaps there are some of you listening in today, and you've heard the gospel many times, and yet you're still unsaved. Even when you hear the gospel of God's grace, you still reject Jesus Christ. Friend, God has sent His Holy Spirit to convict and warn you of His coming wrath, and it doesn't seem to faze you at all. And the reason is simply because the wicked, perverse, and sinful, self-willed, and unregenerate heart within your bosom prevents you from seeking the Savior. And yet, my friend, that doesn't stop Him from seeking you. In Luke 19 and 10, Jesus Christ says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Ah, listen, my friend. Why not admit that you're a lost sheep, spiritually dead in sin and far from God, then accept the death of the Good Shepherd as an atonement for your soul. Now, the fifth point I want to make concerning this parable of the lost sheep is that the shepherd carried the sheep. I've had occasion to watch a shepherd angrily driving a straying sheep before him, prodding the poor sheep with a staff and cursing it every time he left the trail. Not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friends, my heart thrills when I realize that I'm not struggling as a way-worn traveler on my way to heaven. And thank God my reaching heaven doesn't depend upon my walk or upon my faithfulness, nor am I following, as it were, my Savior. In fact, I'm not even walking, because according to this parable, I'm being carried by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And just as the lost sheep was entirely dependent upon the shepherd carrying him back to the fold, so likewise is the lost sinner entirely dependent upon the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, to carry him safely home to heaven. Yes, getting home safely depends upon the shepherd and not the sheep. And thank God for that. You know, I read in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Again, in 1 Peter 1 and 5, we read that we who are saved are kept by the power of God. Now, the sixth fact I want to bring before you is concerning the fact that the lost sheep didn't do a thing to assist in his being saved. And so it is with a sinner. Nothing you can do, my friend, can possibly bring you back to the fold, because we read in Isaiah 64 and 6 that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Again, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, God says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Friend, if you and I could reach heaven by any religious ritual or by any act of self-righteousness, yes, trying to do the best we can, even reading our Bible and saying our prayers and so on, if you and I could get to heaven by doing anything, then why did Jesus die? Now, the seventh and final point I want to bring before you today regarding the shepherd is the fact that he is the center of rejoicing. Yes, in Luke 15 and 6, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us of the joy over a sinner's conversion, illustrated by the way the shepherd calls his friends and neighbors together, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." The shepherd plainly states, "I have found my sheep." He didn't say that the sheep found the shepherd. No, the sheep deserves no credit whatsoever, because all the praise and all the honor and all the glory belongs to the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friend, in conclusion, let me suggest that you take a look at yourself today in the light of God's precious word. You're a lost sheep that has gone astray. You need a Savior before it's eternally too late. Yes, and now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, why not look by faith to Calvary and see the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, dying in your guilty room and in your stead? Believe you're a sinner that can't do a thing to save your own soul. Believe that God loves you, and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ alone can cleanse you from all sin. Friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, and if you do, according to the word of God, which cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in Jesus' name we ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.